Hebrews chapter 30 ends with a benediction from the author. May the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you in every good thing to do his will. May the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep. That's our focus today. Our thought is to just think about the great shepherd, the good shepherd. I really encourage you each week when, as we preach through books of the Bible verse by verse, I just cannot encourage you enough to read ahead, think ahead, pray ahead, and it'll give you an idea, Lord willing, of what your pastors get to experience as they go through and read, think, pray, study. Because I told Pastor Keith, I said, what I really want to do is just get up here and say, Jesus is the good shepherd. And I'll then just stand here for 30 minutes as you think on that. Because if you've read John chapter 10, if you've read much of the Bible, that's what it's talking about. The good shepherd. And Jesus is the good shepherd. So our goal today is to see what that means. That he is the good shepherd. We are in John chapter 10. We hope today to look at verses 11 through 18. John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. You recall last week Jesus was speaking about the sheepfold and the shepherd and the thief, and the wolves come or attempt to climb over the walls. But Jesus said, I am the door. Verse 8 says, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good sheep, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. Let's pray. Father, we are absolutely in awe that your Son is the Good Shepherd. We are in awe that we can know this. We are in awe that for many of us here today in this room, we can claim humbly, yet joyfully, the Lord is my shepherd. There is no other shepherd. There is no other hope. Father, we have read your word. We pray now you would enable your spirit, cause your spirit, lead your spirit to teach us. And oh God, would you block out distractions that we might learn and mature in our faith. But oh God, please help us grow in our love of the Good Shepherd. We pray in the name of the Good Shepherd, Jesus. Amen. Jesus begins verse 10 saying, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. Then he goes on to explain what a good shepherd looks like, and then the authority, or rather why he is the good shepherd, because of the authority. So you may have a handout in front of you with three main points: the characteristics of a good shepherd, what does it mean that Jesus is the good shepherd, and the authority of the good shepherd. You also see our aim for today is that we would see, we would experience, and worship Jesus as the true shepherd and guardian of our souls. Did you see that? He is our shepherd, but in that role as shepherd, he is our guardian, as we read about last week and this week in John chapter 10. You have a shepherd, but he's also your guardian. You do not keep yourself. You do not protect yourself. You cannot protect yourself. In fact, if you're honest, you do usually more harm to yourself than good. He is your guardian. Anything good and the trouble that he keeps you from, even the trouble you want to get into, if you'd be honest, it's because he, the good shepherd, is also your guardian. So point one, the characteristics of a good shepherd. Now let's not forget who he's talking to. He's talking to the Pharisees from chapter 9 specifically. And of course there are people mingling around. Jesus always gathered crowds because he's the good shepherd. So while talking to the Pharisees, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Well, 4 points about the good shepherd. Number one, and obvious, the good shepherd is good. Now, this is not good in the sense of better than. He's not better than. Much of the book of Hebrews does relate to Jesus being better than. But this good is not Jesus' better than. In fact, if you read chapter 10 carefully, there is no such thing as a bad shepherd. There is a thief, there is a wolf, and there is a good shepherd. If you're not a good shepherd, you're not a shepherd. You're a thief or a wolf. Jesus is good. Good, in this case, means you know it by experience. And one thing that we do talk about here a lot at New Life Church is we don't want to live our Christian lives based largely or solely on your experience. Because experiences can come and go. Experiences can play on your emotions. We completely get that. But at the same time, Scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. There is a misconception out there, and that is, I won't tell you what it is, I'll tell you what it's not. Non-Christians do not know, cannot know, that Jesus is good. They can say, I think Jesus is good. Non-Christians, non-believers, cannot know that God is good. Because without the Holy Spirit, you truly do not even know what good is. And if you have not experienced the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, you do not know, you cannot know, you will never know what it is to be good. So as I speak now and tell you that Jesus is the good shepherd, if you are in this room and you are not a regenerated, born-again child of God, you don't fully understand what I'm saying when I say Jesus is good. Now, hold on, Mike. I've been to school. You know, I've lived a few years. I know what good is. No, you think you know what good is. Because the Greek word here, and I'm not trying to impress you with Greek, is it is an understanding based completely on experience. You cannot know Jesus is good if you do not personally know Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the first thing we see about the Good Shepherd, he is good. This is why when we read chapter, well, the whole book of John, the Pharisees do not understand anything that Jesus is saying. Have you ever gotten angry? Pretend that some of you are married. Have you ever gotten frustrated or angry because you felt like your spouse did not understand what you were saying? Have you ever wanted to, perhaps you have, ever said, "Are you listening to the words coming out of my mouth?" And you're thinking, "You just don't get it. Are we speaking the same language? Hello?" This is what's going on with the Pharisees. If you read the scriptures with the Holy Spirit, you get what Jesus is saying. Not just in John 9, 10, 11, 12, John 1, 2. The scriptures. But a non-believer reading scriptures, they're a Pharisee. They just don't get it because they can't get it. So the first thing to understand is Jesus is good. He is good. Taste and see the Lord is good. Number two, the good shepherd lays down his life. Jesus says twice, the good shepherd lays down his life. This is the picture of Jesus and his self-sacrifice. There's debate, did Jesus have to die? Did he have the choice? That's for another sermon and for another time. But the point here is, it is his sacrifice. It is his choice. This good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Why does he do this? Because we cannot forget verse 10. Verse 10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Because the thief comes to kill and destroy, the good shepherd must come to give life. Do you see that? In your life today, even if you are a believer, have you forgotten that the enemy still desires to kill and steal and destroy? This is why it is so important that we keep in the front of our mind that Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the one that sacrificed. He's the one that sacrifices. His first sacrifice is he left heaven. You didn't get that, did you? The eternal Son of God, Trinitarian God himself, Jesus, his initial sacrifice was he took on human flesh. We cannot fathom what it must have been like to leave the glories of heaven, being worshipped since before the foundation of the world by angels. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And he left that. Why? Because the thief comes to kill and destroy. So he said, I will come that you may have life. This is what the good shepherd does. Did you know, I was thinking this week, you love your children. You can put it in many ways. If your child were in the hospital just deathly ill, you would trade places, would you not? You would. If you thought that your child were going to cross the road and get hit by a car, and if you knew that ahead of time, you would change places. You would. You do not have the authority from God to lay down your life for your child. That authority is not being granted you. Now that is something you can spend the week thinking about. Because if you lay down your life for your child, it does nothing for your child. Because you cannot raise yourself up again for your child or for anyone else. But Jesus says, I have the authority to lay it down. And I lay it down because I can raise it back up. Perhaps you can give a kidney for your child. You can give blood for your child. But you do not have God's authority to lay down your life for your child. Jesus had the authority. Just Think on that this week. Number three, the good shepherd is concerned about the sheep. See, Jesus is not a hired hand. He cares. He is not a hired hand. He cares. Hired hands have no stake in the future of your children, the success of your children, the health of your children. A hired hand has no concern for the future, the health, the welfare of the sheep. The hired hand is a bad babysitter and a bad DMV worker. They don't care. They don't care. It's not my job. A hired hand is the bad substitute teacher we all had in school who showed up, didn't care about even learning your name, came for the money, and left. That's why, again, there are no bad shepherds. There are thieves and there are wolves. And Jesus is not a hired hand. He cares. He cares for your soul. He cares in the sense that it is on his heart that the condition of your soul matters to him. But he also cares in the sense that he is the one who is nurturing, protecting, guarding your soul. He cares. He is not the hireling. Jesus promises. Now, I'm going to say something that we all know. He has promised to never leave you or forsake you. Has that thought just grown old with you? Has it become just common to throw it out? The Good Shepherd says, present tense, today, tomorrow, in the future forever, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Things get tough. Things get tight. He will never flee like the hired hand. Have you forgotten that? On your worst day this past 4 weeks, this past month, did you allow that to leave your mind? That he will never leave you. Are you bored with that promise? The good shepherd is concerned because, number four, he knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. Verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep. I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. The good shepherd knows all of his sheep. He will gather all of his sheep. He will gather. And he will gather all of his sheep. Didn't this sound familiar? John chapter 6, perhaps. Later in John 10. All that the Father gives me, I will lose none. The good shepherd says, all my sheep will come, and I will keep all of my sheep. How many theological truths could we unpack from that? You can never stop being his sheep. Because he cares for your soul. He cares for the protection and the keeping of your soul. This is what the good shepherd does. Is he your good shepherd? Well, perhaps maybe you're one of those people who just in your mind, you know that Jesus is good. But you haven't experienced to really know that He is good. That He is good. Let me remind us of something here. Many people, at whatever age you want to choose, they make the decision to follow Christ. And they spend the next many years, perhaps many of them spend the rest of their life, being a Christian and being pretty miserable. Because to them, being a Christian is having to do what the Bible says and pretty much hating it. But I'm a Christian. You know, I made that commitment. Those who make that commitment and spend their lives as a Christian, no joy, no love of the Good Shepherd, not feeling the love of the Good Shepherd. Those who the Spirit regenerate and give the gift of faith and repentance and regeneration. And when they hear the commands of God, they rejoice. They worship the fact that the Good Shepherd has perimeters and guidelines and says, I love you. Live for me. I would really like to go party. I would like to be involved in that. But bummer, I'm a Christian, so I can't do that. By God's grace, I have no taste for that. He has given me a new heart and a new mind. He has given me the desire to embrace Him and His commands and His word and to read it. I guess I'm supposed to read the Bible. After all, I'm a Christian. I don't get much from it. But that's what you do when you're a Christian. You're on one side or the other right now. Everyone in this room, you're on one side or the other, and you can't be on both sides. You cannot be on both sides. It is spiritually impossible. But the Good Shepherd knows His sheep. His sheep know Him. Do you not find peace with that? Is there not absolute, complete peace? The Lord is my shepherd. I am not my shepherd. No king, ruler, boss, authority is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. God loves the Son, the Good Shepherd, because He loves and lays down His life for the sheep. Trinitarian love, Trinitarian plan. So number two, what does it mean that Jesus is the Good Shepherd? What does it mean that Jesus is the Good Shepherd? Let me restate the question. What is Jesus saying? And what are the Pharisees hearing when Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd? What are they hearing? Well, you may know that Pharisees and many Jews back in that day, they knew the Bible. What we would call the Old Testament. They knew the Scriptures. Most of them had it memorized. Children at the age of 4 started learning and memorizing Scripture. The Scripture was the textbook for every subject in school. It was the Scriptures. They knew it. So what are these Pharisees and the other people hearing when Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd? Now what I'm going to do here, and I planned this intentionally, we're just going to slow down and we're going to walk through some Scripture and we're going to pray that the Spirit would just minister to us, would bless us, cleanse us, teach us. Genesis chapter 48. Remember, our question is, what are they hearing when Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd? Genesis 48, verse 15. This is when Jacob is blessing Joseph and his children, what will become the 12 tribes. 14, he stretched his hand out, put his hand on one young man, other hand, crossed his hands onto Ephraim and Manasseh. Verse 15, he blessed Joseph and he said, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life. You're a Jew. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. And you think back to Jacob and Joseph, and he prays to the God who has been my shepherd all my life. Psalm 80. I'll read it for us. Psalm 80, verses 1, 2, and 3. The psalmist says, oh, give ear, shepherd of Israel, who led Joseph like a flock. You who are enthroned above the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your power and come to save. O God, restore us. Cause your face to shine upon us, and we will be saved. He's praying to the God who is the Good Shepherd. He's saying, Good Shepherd, save us. He is saying, God, the Shepherd, save us, because you are the God who saves. What are the Pharisees hearing when Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd? He is saying, God is the Shepherd of Israel. I am the Good Shepherd. I am your God. He's making it very clear. But again, why do the Pharisees not get it? Because they don't have the Spirit. If we're to read Psalm 78, it talks about David becoming king. David, we know, is a type, a forerunner of the Messiah. He's a type of Christ. When David says, I am the Good Shepherd, he compares himself, rather, when Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd, he compares himself to David, the shepherd. We know David was a shepherd. So Jesus is saying, I am the true David. I am the better David. I am your shepherd. 2 Samuel chapter 5, let me read this for us. This is when David becomes king over Israel. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, behold, we are your bone and your flesh. All the tribes of Israel have come to David. David is now installed as king, and they say, we are your bone and your flesh. Previously, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel out and in. And the Lord said to you, David, you will shepherd my people Israel. You will be a ruler over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and David made a covenant with them before the Lord, and they anointed David king. David was 30 years old when he became king. How old was Jesus when he became a rabbi? He was 30. David made a covenant with Israel. What did Jesus do? He made a new and a better covenant. So when Jesus speaks to the Pharisees about being a shepherd, everything in the Old Testament is just firing and exploding in their minds. Jesus is saying to them, I am the Messiah promised. I am the shepherd of the Old Testament. The shepherd of the Old Testament was God. Therefore, I am God. Right here in front of you. And again, they couldn't see it. This is what drove them insane. This is what got them so angry. You cannot claim to be God. It's blasphemy. And it would be, except he is God. Jesus says over and over, this is me. Every time Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he is saying, I am God. He's speaking with full awareness of the Old Testament, the prophecies of the Messiah. He's making it very clear to those who should know. Let's look now at number three, the authority of the Good Shepherd. Why is it that Jesus is the Good Shepherd? Why is it he can lay down his life for the sheep? Verse 17 of chapter 10. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. Do not take this passage here lightly, that Jesus has authority. Well, sure, he has authority. Why does he have authority? Do you have authority? His authority comes from the Father and is a result of the relationship with his Father. See, Jesus has perfect authority because Jesus had perfect obedience. That really is a mind blower. Perfect obedience. We know some of your children have perfect obedience. We know that. Perfect obedience results in perfect authority. No one else has authority to lay down their life, as we said before. What does Jesus' obedience look like? Well, he came down, Pastor Mike, and you know, he Via Dolorosa, and they stoned him, and then they hung him on a cross. Are you familiar with the Christ hymn? There's a song. We believe it was a song. S-O-N-G. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Paul is writing this, but many scholars believe this was probably a song that the early church sang, and Paul just kind of brought it into his letter to the Philippians. This is a picture of the Good Shepherd. So please, as we read this, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, this is the perfect picture of the perfect shepherd, the Good Shepherd. Verse 5, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But this is what the Good Shepherd did. He emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. The Good Shepherd humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted the Good Shepherd and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is why he has authority, because he's the perfect shepherd, perfect obedience. He left heaven. He emptied himself of all of his godness. We also see his work, as Keaton read for us in Psalm 23. Has that grown commonplace to you as well? Anyone besides me have Psalm 23 memorized before you were 8 years old? This is what you did in a Baptist church when I was a kid. Everyone memorizes Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And of course, back then it was always in the KJV. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores what? My soul. I asked you a few minutes ago, is the Good Shepherd your shepherd? Not is he a shepherd. Not is he a good shepherd. Is he your shepherd? Has he led you beside the still waters? Because it says, I shall fear no evil. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with me. Again, he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. So who is Psalm 23 about? It's about Jesus. He is the Good Shepherd. Peter tells us, he has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Now there's a sermon, and so I'll preach it. Jesus came and he died. In his death, when he becomes your Savior, what's in it for you? He has given you all things pertaining to life and godliness. The Good Shepherd has handed to you on a platter all things related to life. You haven't seen my checkbook, Pastor Mike. That's not pertaining to life. That's pertaining to your desires. And I won't say perhaps some bad choices. He has given you all things related to life and godliness. Sanctification, we know, is an ongoing lifelong process. But you are instantly, immediately godly enough to go to heaven because he has given it to you. All things. That's what the Good Shepherd does. Why does he do it? Because he's good. He's good. 1 Peter. Peter again. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. Is a picture of the Good Shepherd. It says, and he, Jesus, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. The Good Shepherd bore your sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. See, that's true life. The life that he gives you is the life you can live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. The Good Shepherd took your wounds. Just get out a piece of paper and write down for me the date when that became boring to you. What date did you get tired of thinking on that? He took your wounds. He took my wounds. Why would he do that? He's the Good Shepherd. Has that become old? Do you yawn at the thought of Isaiah that says this? He's the Good Shepherd. Has he made this a reality for you? Has he opened your eyes to see that he has done this? Not just that you need it. It requires him doing that as well to open your eyes to see you are in need of a Savior. But it is only the supernatural work of God, the Holy Spirit, to show you he has already done it. It is finished for you. It's finished. But you see, there's more. There's verse 25. Because Peter says, for you were continually straying like sheep. You were constantly straying like sheep. You didn't care about the Good Shepherd, if there was a Good Shepherd, where he might be. You were continually straying. I was continually straying like sheep. But now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your soul. The shepherd. That's what the Good Shepherd did. The Good Shepherd continues to do this. He keeps you. So I ask you, is he the guardian? Is he the shepherd of your soul? Do you find that rest and that peace from Psalm 23? Please stop living the Christian life out of duty, out of, well, I gotta go to church because my parents make me. Perhaps you're the parent and you only go because, well, my kids need to be in church. Those are both indications that you don't know the Good Shepherd. They're good indications that you may have brushed up against something close to the Good Shepherd and you decided to be religious. Has he Colossians 1. Has the Good Shepherd transferred you from the domain of darkness? Who knows where I'm going? Into the kingdom of light. The kingdom of his great Son. Have you been transferred? Because you can't transfer yourself. It takes the work of the Good Shepherd. Turn now, today. Turn to the Good Shepherd. Learn for the first time he is good. Well, Pastor Mike, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. Then keep turning to the shepherd of Psalm 23. Keep turning to him. Turn to him today. Turn to him tomorrow. He continues to give you that peace. He continues to lead you by still waters. We end where we started in Hebrews 13. This is our benediction. This is our prayer. This is my prayer for me, my prayer for you. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, may he equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. He works on you. He works on you in ways that are pleasing in his sight. Are you not happy? Right now. Are you not happy with life? Are you not pleased with where God has you right now? Relationship with your spouse, your kids, your job, your no job, your in-laws, your outlaws. You just aren't happy. See, the Good Shepherd is constantly working in you. Not just around you, not in their lives. Not just in... He's constantly working in you that which is pleasing to him. If you know the Good Shepherd, oh, you rejoice at that. He's working in me. Do you know that? Do you know that he's working in you? Can you say that? On the inside and on the outside. Can you say, I don't understand it. I don't like it. Maybe I partially understand it. But he's working in you all things that are pleasing in his sight. Do you want to be pleasing in your sight? Or do you want to be pleasing in his sight? He's working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. See, that's the role of the Good Shepherd. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.